On Thursday, Dick Nopinski talked with Senator Inhofe on his visit to AirVenture and asked how many years he's been attending.
So, yeah, it's my 42nd trip to Oshkosh, and I didn't want to break it. So we're here, we're excited about it, and I love seeing people. You know, that's the thing about Oshkosh. You'll see people who are really your best friends, but you haven't seen them for a whole year. And there, I saw them all last night when he got here. That was enjoyable.
Indeed. You know, in aviation, you know, we didn't think it'd be a real wild thing as far as federal regulation is concerned, but suddenly, about a month ago, the FAA steps up and has a whole flight training situation going on, and I know you in the Senate and Representative Graves in the House have introduced legislation.
Graves is my co-sponsor in the House, and we're taking the action that's necessary. People need to understand why the FAA is doing what they're doing, because this is one accident to fall into the category of experimental airplanes or of age airplanes, and it's actually a B-17. You know, that was built back in the 30s, and it was one single accident, and there hasn't been anything else. But we started keeping records in 2000, I think it was 13. Anyway, so that's the extent of it. But the FAA came into special categories. I'm a flight instructor and have been for many, many years. And it would mean that I couldn't, even if I were giving you, if I were giving Dick lessons in my plane that I own, that I've owned for a long period of time, I couldn't do it because the FAA came along prescribing all these inhibitions that come in when you do that. This is going to have a happy ending. Don't worry about it.
Is it something, too, you mentioned about the politics in Washington right now. Do you think this is going to be a bipartisan effort by the time you get through it with this legislation?
Well, as a general rule, and people don't understand that there are really legitimate differences between Democrats and Republicans. It goes through a committee process. It starts in someone's precinct meeting, and it goes all the way to the National Convention. And so when it comes out, there are a lot of things that are strictly Democrat and strictly Republican. Military, for example, I was the chairman of the defense authorization bill for a long period of time, and still am active in that. That's a partisan issue. Your Democrats are not a strong national defense. I mean, that's not a debatable thing. They all proudly admit it. Things like abortion and things like that. Well, one of those is overregulation. Democrats have a tendency to want to regulate things more. Republicans don't want to regulate more. And so it comes to the FAA, and there are a lot of great people in the FAA I've known for a long period of time, but there are also some, they have a tremendous amount of power, and they like to use that power to show that they have that power. And I think that, quite frankly, you brought up a subject that was one that I think it was motivated by people just wanting to have more power over another group. So overregulation is something that comes in a lot of forms, but it becomes more of a partisan issue. So Democrats have a tendency to want to regulate things more, Republicans don't. I know that people out there would hear me say this and think that this is being partisan. It's not. This is a fact.
And what can the average pilot do? I mean, the legislation will come out. What can the average pilot, regardless of who the representative is?
There's no group better than EAA. They're the ones that are going to have to live with everything that they come out with. And it's a single-issue group. And so that group has a membership. They have they know the amount of problems it's going to incur if something is passed. And so they're kind of the eyes and ears of overregulation. And there are a lot of other groups too. The OPA does a great job. But I think the best way to answer your question is, I don't know how else these people are gonna find out. You know, I read publications that I have for many, many years. And so I have a pretty good idea of what's happening. in the aviation world. Now, it's a little different with me because I'm a member of the United States Senate and I'm on all the committees and all that stuff. But for the average person out there, they don't really have a way of knowing how this affects their ability to fly freely their own vehicle without being abused by overpower.
Right. So you've got a
situation. I don't know another way that's the only way that they can find out about it. Yep.
So make sure that they contact their legislators, whoever they are, and say, you know, this is something that's an injustice and should be solved.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and I have to say this. It's a terrible confession to make, but a lot of people in the Senate and in the House are not going to respond to something if they get a chain letter from somebody nationwide. That doesn't really do much good. But when they start hearing from people that you generate to call in who live in their state or in their district, then that gets their attention.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that I've had problems. I can remember, you might remember this, and some of our listeners would remember this, the Hoover Bill. Bob Hoover and I became good friends many years ago, and the FAA came along and they took away his license, and I couldn't get it back in. It took me 2 years. I had to pass a law we called the Hoover Law to put him back in the air, and he was back in the air after that. So
it does work. It does happen.
It does work. If you get in touch with them, you get their attention. But especially on these areas that are generated by single issue people, those people, they know that they're the ones who are the most politically powerful. And most of them belong to an organization such as the EAA.
You've long been a champion of pilot rights, as you were mentioning, going back to the Hoover Bill, in fact. And you know, some of the things that you've been working on, and the Pilot Bill of Rights, Pilot Bill of Rights 2, what's next on that channel that you see that can help all pilots, even beyond the specific flight training issue that we've been talking about here already?
Well, there are some things. I have I'm trying to generate some interest around. Well, first of all, the fact that this is the fifth year of the most popular program, that is the third class medical program. As I mentioned, 66,000 people are flying airplanes today that wouldn't be flying otherwise. That's a huge thing. But there are a lot of other things that we're working on at the same time. The one is called the National Center for Advancement of Aviation. This is groups like you guys and others that are kind of joining together so that they can have efforts to get collaborative efforts with the private sector, the public sector, the other groups that are working on trying to generate interest among young people in aviation. Right now we have a problem. We don't have enough mechanics, people being trained, and so it's not just pilots, but it's people in the aviation industry. And so what we are trying to do with these efforts that include the supporters of aviation is to get people, young people in high school to want to get a pilot's license or want to learn about aviation. And that's where, if they get past high school, you've lost them, and they no longer have. So we are constant reminders. We are doing programs to make sure that people stay involved in this. We have the Certainty of General Aviation Pilots Act. This is the one that addresses the problem we already talked about. What can we do to accomplish any problems that are out there in terms of safety, and at the same time not be overruled by a program that doesn't necessarily work. So we have that there. We have the Plane Act, and this is we have some things that are unfinished. As I mentioned, where I get my stuff is from the FAA reauthorization bill. It passes every year or two. And then when you pass that, you know it's going to pass. So I put all my GA stuff on that, and it works. I mean, almost all of it gets passed. We have one thing that is on there that's left over would be the disaster relief airports. There are a lot of airports that are in case of a disaster, and we've had a lot of disasters, certainly in our state of Oklahoma, we have the wildfires and other things happening. Well, we would like to know that there are airports that have the resources to assist in these things, and they could be referred to and been given some relief from overregulation on things that are going on with them. Some disasters that come up, they're able to do that. We now have one we're trying to get trained, a private citizen who want to certify pilots. And one good example is the designated pilot examiner. I had a personal experience, Dick, that was a shocker to me. As much as I do for aviation and have done in the past, I had a desperate need for a designated operator, and I couldn't find one. And I thought, I'm doing all these things to do that. So we found out there aren't enough people going around. So one of the problems is there's always a problem of a potential lawsuit, that someone who falls in that category would be looking at it as a designated pilot examiner. And if they do something that's wrong, there's always attorneys. I don't mean just against brushing all attorneys, but a lot of them are out there who take advantage of having a lawsuit. So we want to give them some defense from frivolous lawsuits. We are doing that at the present time. Civil liability to other groups also. But then another problem that we have, we tax, a lot of people don't realize that we are heavily taxed in aviation, and people don't understand that. But a lot of the stuff that comes in, and landing fees and the other fees that we have to pay, and there's no one listening to us right now that isn't very sensitive to that. And so we're in a position that we can make sure that if you're paying all those fees should end up in some kind of something benefiting aviation. And as it is right now, instead of going that money, a lot of it goes to the highway bill as opposed to the aviation bill. And so we want to make sure if we're paying for it, we need to have the benefits of it. And these are things that we're dealing with people right now.
And I know the Hangars Act is something that you're talking about as well, to get improvements into the GA world as well. Yeah,
that's right. And that is actually having $1 billion set aside that would benefit enhancing the presence of hangars around the country. And it's a hard thing to deal with because everyone says, well, how about me? Well, you can't. It's hard enough to get $1 billion in there without getting any more. So it's a program that's working.
Okay. And you mentioned about jobs, and I know you've been a big supporter of jobs and job growth within the economy. And I know Jack Pelton has mentioned this. It's an exciting time for young people to get into aviation because there are so many possibilities. I mean, what have you seen, Senator?
Oh, definitely. And there's a new interest in it. And it doesn't happen on its own. People have to be aware that, and that's why a lot of the youth programs are getting in there, where people are thinking, hey, there are opportunities in aviation. And we want to make sure that we're in a position to take advantage of that.
And finally, you mentioned it, more than 40 years here at Oshkosh, back after a year off for all of us back here on this flight line. Yeah. What is the thing that really inspires you, motivates you every time you come back to Oshkosh?
Well, it's one of these things where my wife and I have been married 61 years. We have 20 kids and grandkids. They're all active in aviation. They're interested in aviation. But the people that I know around the country, and as I come to Oshkosh each year, as I mentioned, I see those people maybe once a year. That's still my best friends. And so I think there's nothing more cohesive than to be around a lot of people who love the same things that you love. And that's what happens at Oshkosh. And you know, it's not like it is in most cases, where it's not a partisan thing. Liberal Democrats can love to fly just as much as conservative Republicans, and we recognize that.
Indeed, and we're happy you're here, and we're all one big family here at Oshkosh. Senator, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thanks for what you do for my favorite pastime.
All right. And thank you for all of you being here at Oshkosh, and we're part of EA Radio.